This morning we're looking at the cadet theme verse, but we're going to look at it in its broader context in 2 Timothy. So I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 14 through 26. Let us pray for the Lord's guidance before we read. O dear God of Epiphany and God of light, we long to hear your holy word in fresh ways this morning. Open our ears to the call of your voice by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. And open our eyes to the dawning of a new day, that we may be filled with anticipation for your future. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Praise be to God for the word of the Lord this morning. A word that the theme verse for the cadets was often used as a guilt verse for my seminary professors. Be a workman able to handle the word of truth correctly, they would say, especially the Hebrew prof. And it was a guilt verse that guilt you into studying hard, you know. You got to handle it correctly. I was once a Cub Scout and then a Boy Scout, and I was prepared to do all sorts of things. I was prepared just in case I happened to find myself out in the woods in the middle of the winter by myself and lost, and I would know what to do. And so there in Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, I learned things like how to make a shelter out of dead wood and to filter water with my socks and to whittle things with my teeth, those sorts of things. Learned how to start a fire by rubbing my fingers together, or sticks of wood, or something like that. Splint arms with wood, broken arm. Learned lots of things that helped me be prepared for all sorts of things. But one thing I didn't learn growing up, and I didn't learn till later on in life, is how to deal with a difficult person. You know, the kind of person who just likes to get into arguments for the sake of getting into arguments. a person who likes to stir up controversies, and a person who likes to get you embroiled in those controversies and arguments and whatnot. All of a sudden, you find yourself fighting and arguing and fuming and cutting off the relationship because, well, after all, you're right and everyone else is wrong. You sleep on it the next morning. You wake up and can't for the life of it think of what all the fuss was about. Why did you get so upset about some of these things that seem so silly and little arguments? Why do you let those things get between you and your friendship? Or why do you let those little things cause the stress in your relationship or your marriage or whatever it is? Experience teaches us, but no one really prepares us how to handle quarrelsome individuals. That's really what this whole passage is about and dealing with in 2 Timothy. See, churches are full of quarrelsome individuals, and let's be real, we are all difficult people at some point in our life, and if you don't know it, ask your spouse or ask your children. The Apostle Paul knows this, and that's why he's helping to prepare young Timothy for ministry in the church, a church filled with very real people who are difficult at times. That's right, the difficult people are in the church, it's not those people out there. And in 2 Timothy, he's talking about the Christian community there. And Paul teaches it makes a difference how you engage and interact with people who just like to quarrel and fight for the fun of it. Or worse yet, people who like to quarrel and fight for the purpose of causing division and divisiveness to get at people at each other's throats. Be prepared, Timothy. You're going to encounter difficult people in life. I think that's a good lesson for all of us this morning, a good lesson for cadets, for young people. You will deal with difficult people in life. Do we have a sense of degrees of truth? And degrees of responses to those different degrees of truth. Some that you should and ought to defend and maintain head on against an attack. And other degrees of truth where, well, if you disagree with me or we don't see eye to eye on this thing, well, it's not the end of the world. I don't have to fight about it. I don't have to correct you every time. I don't have to be right about everything. Do we have a sense that maybe we don't have the whole truth about a given situation or conversation we're having? Are we able to ask questions in order to better understand one another's point of view? Some of us are a little too eager to jump into a conversation with our truth on a matter before we even know if our truth really fits into that conversation. And if we are over-eager to engage a difficult person head-on, we risk getting lost in the minutiae, the little things, forgetting about the bigger picture or important matters of love and relationship. In our burning desire to be right all of the time and winning the argument, we risk turning some people off of a relationship with the Lord or away from the church, too. That's why Paul teaches Timothy to be kind. Timothy, if you do anything, be kind to everyone. Be prepared to teach, he says, versus just argue and try to be right all the time. To oppose people, yes, but oppose them gently. In other words, when dealing with a difficult person, it matters how you oppose them, so that some semblance of a relationship still exists when you're done with the argument. Such an approach just may lead that person to repentance and to the cross of Christ. So first this morning, be prepared to handle the truth correctly. Be prepared to handle the truth correctly. Simply possessing a certain body of knowledge, of information, isn't all there is to life, and you know that. Wisdom is knowing how to properly handle that truth, apply the truth, and to correct and to rebuke. And Christian wisdom is knowing how to handle a certain body of truth while at the same time maintaining a relationship in love. For love is always the guiding principle for the believer. not just winning the argument in order to boost our own ego or to destroy the other person or tear down their character. No, Christian wisdom is comprised of truth with love coming together. Verse 14 of chapter 2 begins saying, keep reminding them of these things. Well, what things? Well, the things that just came before in verses 11 through 13, where he says, here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, Christ, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So Paul tells Timothy to keep reminding people of these things, and then he tells him to warn them before God. That sounds serious. It is. Warn them before God, he says. Warn them against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Now, this doesn't mean that all the arguments and disagreements are necessarily the same thing as the quarrels that Paul is talking about here. There's certainly value and benefit in having good theological conversations about the words of Scripture and how we apply them as believers to our lives or to the world, and to seek out in discussion with each other how best to please the Lord. But Paul's not talking about that here. He's dealing with a destructive teaching, a heresy that seems to be causing division and harm and strife and separateness within the body of Christ. It's ruining those who listen, he says. Verse 17, Paul mentions a teaching by some that will spread like gangrene. In other words, their misguided lessons on the resurrection, along with their quarreling and godless chatter, as he says. This is causing tissue decay in the body of Christ. Disintegration and disunity are the result of their teaching and behavior. These are the folks, as it says in verse 18, who have wandered away from the truth. And not only that, but they're taking others along with them on their wandering journeys, destroying the faith of some, as it says. Now, when you engage these false teachers and rabble-rousers, Timothy, remember, be prepared to handle the word of truth correctly. It'll be tempting not only to demolish their arguments, but to hurt them back for what they are doing. It'll be tempting to publicly humiliate them in retaliation, to slander their character. And it'll be tempting because it seems like it'll feel good when everyone's watching you do it and you'll get your pride puffed up. Remember something, Timothy. You're not working for the approval of other people. Don't try to impress everyone else with your opponents, impressive, showy arguments that only serve to humiliate and destroy the other person. They're not going to win somebody for Christ necessarily. Verse 15, do your best to present yourself as to God as one approved, one who's already approved. No need to impress anyone, as a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Confront error? Yes, Timothy. And confront the errors. Respond to false teachers? Well, yes, Timothy, respond to the false teachers. Know the word of truth well? Yes, know the word of truth well. But at the same time, Paul says, avoid the godless chatter. Avoid the quarrels, the verbal warfare that only ruin and destroy people's faith. Paul encourages Timothy in verse 19, saying, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In other words, Paul assures Timothy that that God's solid foundation in Christ is secure and will stand even when false teachers are running about. Even if they get the better of the argument on occasion, you can rest secure, Timothy, in Christ and on the knowledge of the truth. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to puff yourself up or to boost your own ego. You stand secure, Timothy, on the truth that is in Jesus Christ, even as you're dealing with these difficult people. There's no reason to join in and fan to flame the quarrelsome arguments and be a part to this divisiveness and division that's going on. Watch yourself, Timothy. Turn away from wickedness. Be prepared to handle the word of truth correctly. Don't use it as a club to beat people over the head with. So secondly, this morning, be prepared for any good work. Be prepared to handle the word of truth correctly and be prepared for any good work. It can be difficult to be prepared to do good work if we're caught up into controversy, trying to be right all of the time, to work out all the details, and all of our energy is focused on winning the argument and destroying the opponents. I believe God's word this morning is telling us that even when we're dealing with difficult people who like to stir things up, that confronting them head-on just might not be the right approach. Confronting a difficult person head-on just might not be the right approach. It might even be a self-destructive tactic. God says so in other places of the Bible, and there's a few verses in Proverbs I want to share with you. Proverbs 9, 7 to 8 says this, "Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you." Proverbs 17:27 says, "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered." Proverbs 23:9 says, "Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words." Proverbs 26:4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself." Dealing with a difficult person head on, that is, getting lost in the little things and the arguments about words, could turn on yourself. It might not be the best approach. So Paul's instructing Timothy and us this morning to be even-tempered, sparing in our words, restraining, to have an understanding when we address the difficult person, the mocker, as the Bible calls him, the fool. It says in verse 23, "Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels." You know it, Timothy. You've done it yourself. You wanted to fight back right away as soon as someone brought an argument or you disagreed with someone. You wanted to just respond, and you've done that before in your past. You know that, Timothy. "Don't have anything to do with these sorts of arguments. The Lord's servant must not quarrel." You see, the Lord wants to use us as holy instruments for his purpose in the world. Anyone can bicker. Anyone can backbite. Anyone can stomp and shout and raise their voice in an argument and slander and tear down character of someone else. It takes a different sort of person, though, a different sort of instrument who can use her words with restraint when faced with someone who disagrees. It takes a different sort of person who can seek understanding before reacting or responding to an argument. It takes a different sort who can interact with a different person or a difficult person in a variety of different ways, even using humor to maintain the relationship, joining truth with love. That's why Paul makes the analogy in verse 21. He writes of certain household articles that are used for noble purposes, articles that are clean, made holy, and useful to the master for good work. That's the believer who is set aside as holy and different, who does not need to be ashamed because he or she is secure in Christ. No need to defend the ego or to boost the reputation. The believer only seeks the approval of God, not of crowds and friends and family members or the opponents. There's good work to be done, so don't get bogged down in controversies and quarrels over little things. It says in verse 22, "Flee the evil desires of youth, Timothy, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." What I took out of that here this morning is that a workman approved by God is also a workman in a community, and that we are all in a community of faith, that we don't have to do this on our own. And the importance of that is seeking out someone that we trust, and maybe in confidence to bounce things off of, to learn from. A wise, peaceful Christian to come to, and maybe in confidence to vent with as well. As we're dealing with difficult people, there's a time where maybe we just need to vent with someone before we do really say something that we regret and is hurtful. Instead of being argumentative, quarrelsome, and resentful because you just can't get the other person to change their mind, instead be kind, Paul says. Be gentle. Be able to teach. And then it says in verses 25 and 26, God will grant them repentance. You catch that? God will grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Being prepared to do all sorts of good work includes being prepared to be kind to everyone. Kindness, fruit of the Spirit. Be gentle. Gentleness is also a fruit of the Spirit. And able to teach. As Christians, we have a better chance of changing minds and hearts when we are kind, not trying to boost our own egos. A wrong attitude on our part may actually play a part in pushing someone away from the truth of Christ or even from his body, the church. How do we deal with doctrinal or even interpersonal conflict, which seems to be tearing churches apart these days? How do we maintain truth and love and relationship and in community when dealing with difficult people in our lives? Well, one way is, like I said, to avoid the verbal warfare. Just avoid the verbal warfare, especially over the little things. A disagreement doesn't have to be all-out war. There are other peaceful options of expressing our opinion and our feelings, and our position on issues that doesn't have to harm or cut off the relationship. Another way is to be prepared to engage different truths differently. Have a sense of the level of truths that you engage in. The color of the nursery is not a salvation issue. And no one here is saying that it is, by the way. There's no need to go to battle stations over the viscosity of the church coffee, although that might be a gray line. Know which issues, which doctrines and behaviors really need to be addressed head on, and which ones are simply personal preferences and styles. And along with that, even the most serious issue, or especially with the most serious issue that we have, it requires Christian humility and wisdom when addressing that issue with others. There's much wisdom in seeking understanding and information first. There's much wisdom in speaking about how the issue is affecting you personally, how it's making you feel, without being judging or blaming the other person. And there's much Holy Spirit-empowered grace in addressing your issue with kindness, gentleness, and even being able to teach. Or part of a lot of struggles that people just don't know about the issue. An issue that's so important to me, that I'm familiar with, that I read about and think about a lot, and you might have no clue about this issue. So a little education could go a long way, too, in bringing understanding. With God's help, this approach to conflict could go a long way to bringing about lasting change and even bringing people together. In Christ, God has given us a solid foundation from which we may love and serve others, even the difficult people in our lives. So be prepared, for we are all difficult people at some point. Praise be to God for the fruit of the Spirit of His grace. Let us pray. Eternal God, in the anxious and ever-changing world in which we live, it can be easy to get embroiled in controversies over those little things. Before we know it, we've said words that hurt, insult, and demoralize another person. And all the while, we risk losing a good friendship, straining a good marriage, clouding the world's view of your glory and grace. Thank you, Lord, that in Christ you have laid a solid foundation from which we may stand and serve you unashamed. Help us all, Lord, to seek your approval over that of other people, that we may be prepared to do every good work and to bring you glory all the way. May we handle the word of truth correctly so that others may not be tempted to turn away from you, but instead to be led to repentance and to the truth, and that you would receive the glory through it all. To you be the glory, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit are one God forever and ever. Amen.